So we're going to talk about God's created moon. And what can you tell us about the moon? What makes it so special? Why is it important for us here on Earth?
Yes, in the book of Job, chapter 31, the earliest book, I believe, that was written of the 66 books of the Bible, God tells us through the words of Job the importance, the infinite, eternal importance of having a correct perspective on the sun and the moon. Job says in chapter 31, verse 26, "If I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, for my mouth hath kissed my hand." That's a form of an expression of worship in the ancient world. What would happen if I, in other words, just momentarily out there at night in a field, nobody watching, just lifted up my heart to that shining moon and said, Oh God, how great thou art. What would happen? What difference would it make? Well, the answer is devastating. Verse 28. "This also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above." And now we begin to see in the book of Genesis chapter 1, which we believe was written later than Job, through the pen of Moses by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, why it is that the moon's creation and that of the sun is postponed to the fourth day of creation week, more than halfway through the 6 days of creation.
Dr. Whitcomb?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Do you have a fan going or something? I hear something in the background.
Yes, we have a machine here. Let me turn it off, see if that helps. It's a dehumidifier. Now it's off.
Oh, you sound wonderful now. And I knew you were going to say something really good, and I wanted to get it nice and clear. So,
okay.
Thank you. That sounds much better.
Should we start over?
No, if you could just start where you were. Talk about where you were talking.
Okay.
Maybe back up a sentence or two.
Okay. When we read the book of Job, chapter 31, about the proper perspective of the sun and moon, that sheds significant light on Genesis chapter 1, which was written long after the book of Job, through the pen of Moses by the Holy Spirit. Here we're told something that surprises many people, that the creation of the sun and moon and stars was postponed by God till after the middle of the creation week, the fourth day of the 6 days of creation. Why is it that the creation of these heavenly bodies is postponed to a time after the creation of the earth? And the answer is that those who first read this chapter in Genesis 1 had been in Egyptian bondage for hundreds of years and had absorbed Egyptian sun and moon worship into their hearts and minds. They were idolaters, as the book of Exodus and Numbers also makes very clear. They were actually sun and moon worshipers, many of them, most of them. And that awful poison was not purged from the nation for another 1,000 years until the Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah and Ezekiel and other books tell us about this astral worship plague and poison that permeated the minds and hearts of the Jewish people. Now, Genesis chapter 1, which must have shocked the Jews when they first read it, it's from the hand of Moses, tells us the earth was created first, and 3 days later, the sun, moon, and stars, and we say why? In order for God to demonstrate conclusively and finally that the sun and the moon were not here at the beginning. They did not have anything to do with the creation of the world. They're not gods to be worshipped at all. Only Jesus Christ, through whom all things were made, and without whom was not anything made, John 1:3, was the creator of the sun, the moon, the stars, and before any of those came planet Earth, Genesis 1:1. And I say, well, thank you, Lord, because now we realize something that you are infinitely concerned about, that we see who, when, and how the world and the astral systems above and beyond us came into being. It was through Christ's supernatural work within 6 24-hour days. The order of events showing that evolutionism had nothing to do whatsoever with God's method for bringing things into existence. And they were created perfectly, suddenly, simultaneously and supernaturally. This is an overwhelming truth in Genesis 1 that guarantees to the reader who believes this that we have a God who's so great, he doesn't need billions of years to get his programs launched. He can save people from their sins instantly and permanently, completely, if they put their trust in Christ the Creator, who by his death and resurrection is also our Savior. So we find that the Genesis chapter 1 and all through the Bible, we have an overwhelming message that God and God alone is sufficient for the original design and creation of the whole universe. And so Genesis begins the same way you see that Revelation ends, with Christ, not sun, moon, and stars, but Christ, the source of light for the whole universe. And so through Christ, the first temporary light in Genesis day one was created, in reference to which the earth went through three night-day cycles. On the fourth day, that temporary, localized astronomic light was replaced by the sun by day and the moon by night. Now, God only gives three reasons why he created the sun, moon, and stars, but they're very significant reasons. Genesis 1:14, he created them to be signs, and that's our point, that they tell us something about the greatness and glory and purpose and plan of God. Like Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. But the second reason, for seasons, days, and years, the moon tells us how to divide up our year into months, approximately 28 plus days. And so here we see a second significance. And thirdly, let them give light upon the earth. And what a magnificent light at nighttime is the full moon. Now, so beautiful was the moon that not only was Job tempted theoretically to worship it, but we read this warning in Deuteronomy 4:19 from Moses to Israel, lest thou lift up thine eyes to heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them which the Lord thy God has divided into all the nations under the whole heaven. They were created for us, not for us to worship them. There's only one living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons sharing one nature forever and ever. Now, of course, when we see the systems of teaching in our public schools and even up to our university graduate school level on how life began on this earth, we're horrified to read, almost exclusively, that life began on this planet billions of years ago when lifeless chemicals in the primeval sea were coalesced by solar radiation, sunshine, bathing the primeval seas, and bringing that life somehow through time and chance into existence, from which speck we've all evolved and descended. But of course, never do you read the truth on the matter, that before the sun even existed, Jesus Christ not only was there with the power to create the earth, with the oceans and the atmosphere, but he was there to create life and blanketed all the continents, or perhaps one great pre-flood continent, with a blanket of green, of trees and plants and flowers of all kinds, even before the sun was created. So God shows us here again miraculously how he could keep, not only create the vegetation, but how he could maintain it for an entire day without sunshine. Life on this earth preceded the existence of the sun. And it wasn't just a speck in an ancient ocean either. It was all the beautiful, full-grown, spectacular types of trees and plants and flowers. And so we see from God's perspective a very different picture, a very, very different picture of how the world began and who did it and what it really means for us today when we take the Bible literally into our heart.
Right. Oh, that was excellent. Thank you. Let me ask you just real quick, though. The light that God had created before he made the sun, and you said after he made the sun, that light he kind of replaced that light with the sun. Is that correct?
That's right. We don't know whatever happened to that temporary light. it had served its purpose, and God simply annihilated it or set it off somewhere in the universe. We can't identify it specifically now. And the sun replaced it by day and the moon by night.